This is Sunday Satsang. And today is Sunday, January, what is it? January 9th, 2016. So I want to have a small discussion, and then we can ask any questions. If there's any questions. Some weeks ago, some devotees asked me about caves in Govardhan, and in order for Giriraj to see those caves, and in order for Krishna, Giriraj to be involved in those leelas of Radha and Krishna's conjugal sports, then he must have some female form with the name of Girirani. We had mentioned how some gurus have that idea, and many people worship like that. I haven't clearly found that being said in the Goswami's books, that Giri Govardhan takes a female form to serve Radha and Krishna's pastimes. But what you do see in that, definitely there are many caves in Govardhan. On the first of the year, in January, we did Govardhan Parikrama. And in the morning, so when we got near, down towards, on the way to Govinda Kund, we were looking a lot at, always at, we were, had two eyes. One eye was looking at the ground for rocks, and one eye was looking at Giriraj the whole time. This special spiritual vision. Two eyes can look in different directions. This is devotee speciality. So Radharani, it says her eyes look in four directions. One eye is looking, part of her eye is looking for Krishna, Kripa Kataksha, Bhajanam, corner of her eyes. In one corner, she's looking for the Vipaksha Sakhis, her rivals, her competitors like Chitra Sakhi, or like Chandravali, Padma Shaivya. Another part of her eye, she's looking for her mother-in-law, Chatila, or her sister-in-law, Kutila. Another eye, she's looking for the coward boys. They may come looking for Krishna, since he left them at Manasi Ganga. Said he, on the pretext of searching for a lost calf, he and Madhumangal and Subal slipped away from the boys, resting at Manasi Ganga with all the cows. And he ended up slipping all the way to Kusum Sarovar and Radhakund. And there he stayed for 6 hours, you know, searching for his cows. But cows means go. Go means senses. Over 6 hours, Krishna was searching for his senses, because Radharani stole his senses. Krishna's Manohar and Radharani's Manoharini. So Krishna steals the mind, Manohar. But Radharani steals the stealer, everyone's mind. So she's Manoharini. So when the mind goes, gets stolen, then your senses get lost. So Krishna lost his senses and his mind at Radhakund. Sometimes people wear t-shirts and say, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. But Krishna lost his heart in Radhakund. He lost his heart and his mind and his senses. And this is the Prabhava of Radharani's Madan Mahabhav, so great, so powerful. So in this way, Radharani's eyes are looking, so devotees can at least have two-way vision of their eyes. One looking at the pathway they're walking on, and one looking at Giriraj. I notice in some places there's all rocks everywhere on the side of Govardhan Hill. Some places near Aniora, Aniora side, Govardhan is very tall. right before and right behind the village of Anior. Giriraj looks very, very tall. And so many rocks are there, or rather, murtis of Krishna, we could say, Giridhari, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. But here and there you see some really rugged, small trees. You might say scrawny, but we don't want to use that. Scrawny trees, it has a negative context. I would say rugged trees growing on the side and tops of Giri Govardhan. And they're all twisted and bent in various ecstatic ways from witnessing so many innumerable leelas of Radha and Krishna Yuga on the slopes of in the slopes and pastures of Govardhan, or on the hilltops of Govardhan, Giri Shaila, or in the Gufa Kandara of Govardhan. So you see these trees there, here and there, a few of them together, and some green leaves of some sort, like small, almost like needles, small, very small, tiny leaves, little miniature trees. They're only about 4 feet to 6 feet high, like a little short haircut, like hairs, short hairs on the head of Govardhan. But then right around where all these green trees, rugged small trees, bent this way and that way, bunky briksha, bent trees, you'll see some very dark area. And the sun is shining, was shining on that side of the mountain. It was morning time, the sun was rising from the east, and the rays were shining on the mountain face, and I was looking at it. So you see all the rocks are brilliantly illuminated, but then you see this clump of trees, and behind or in the middle of all those trees there'd be a big hole, black hole, and some rocks go around Shilas hanging a little bit over it and whatnot. Several places I saw, and I thought, oh, surely these are caves. This is the appearance of a cave. If you look at a mountain and there's a cave, it'll appear like a black hole from a distance, because the sunshine is not going inside that hole and that opening. At any rate, there's certainly caves there, and they're the site of leelas. And I was, someone was asking about the caves, and of course the obvious song that many people sing, especially during Kartik or when they're visiting Vrindavan, is by Govardhan. It's called Sri Govardhan Vasa Prarthana Dashakam, by Srila Das Goswami, who of course lived here at Govardhan, at Radhakund. He's a Radhakund Nivasi. And he wrote this beautiful song to glorify Giri Govardhan and all the various sevas he does. And he ends every song with a phrase. He ends every one of his poems in this Dashakam. Instead of Ashtakam, it's Dashakam. Prarthana Dashakam. Sri Govardhan Vas Prarthana Dashakam. In other words, in English, this means 10 prayers to attain or to be blessed with, not Brajavas, not Vrindavan Vas, but Sri Govardhan Vas. So he ends every poem with this phrase, Nija Nikat Nivasam Dehi Govardhan Tvam. O Govardhan, you, Govardhan Tvam, you please, Dehi, give me, Nivas, residence, Nija, your own, Nikat. Nikat means side. Nikat. So he's saying everywhere, O Govardhan, please grant me residence nearby your side. And then there's so many glorifications after that. So we see right here in the beginning of this Ashtakam, the mentioning of the caves in Govardhan, which I just described briefly, from a very external witnessing or observation. This is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam Veno Gita. The gopis are glorifying Krishna's Veno, and especially Krishna himself, the Veno player, Vamshidhari, Murli Vadan, Veno Gopal. And so that verse is 10th canto, chapter 20, verse 18, where Radharani herself is speaking, O Haridas Varya, you render so many services. So here in Govardhan Dashakam, Das Goswami Pad is saying, he's mentioning here in verse 2 in the second poem, Pramada Madana Lila, Pramada Madana Lila, Kandare Kandare Te, Racha Yati Nava Yunor Dwandam Asman Amandam, Heti Kila Kalan Artam Lagnakas Tadwayor Me, Nija Nikata Nivasam Tehi Govardantam, Nija Nikata Nivasam Devi Govardantam. Not sure exactly how to say that. But here, he's mentioning here the caves of Govardhan. Pramada Madana Lila Kandare Kandare Te Navayunor Dwandam. Navayunor, that newly youthful Navayuno Dwanda, that pair, that couple they're enjoying within you. He's saying here, please grant me residence, O Govardhan. Why? Because I want to witness and serve the youthful lovers of the youthful lovers Sri Radha and Krishna as they perform newer secret amorous leelas within your many caves, where they become completely maddened from drinking prem. You are present and making everything possible. So it says that Govardhan is a person, Govardhan is Krishna. Bhagavatam is telling that Govardhan is Krishna. Krishna himself is saying that I am not different from this hill. Bhagavan Sri Krishna said in the 10th canto, chapter 24, Govardhan Lila, worshipping Govardhan Hill. And then when Krishna came again 500 years ago, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he gave a Govardhan Shila to Das Goswami, Raghunath Das. And again, he told him at that time, again, Krishna is repeating, I, Govardhan, this Govardhan Shila, it is me, it's Brajendra Nandan Shamsundar. And you should worship this Govardhan Shila like me, like Krishna, with Tulsi and Chandan, and sweet, and bathing. All these things, he said. And of course, Swarup Damodar instructed him further. So this is the basic conclusion of the Shastras. So here it's mentioning this point about how Radha and Krishna are enjoying in the caves. So when I was asked that question, do you know about the caves of Govardhan? I mentioned this bhajan is alluding to it, and it's also glorified. But then I was surprised. In other writings of Raghunath Das Goswami, he mentions a lot about, he refers oftentimes to the caves of Govardhan. And it's in his Stavavali, his collection of prayers. We can look at some of those entries and get further understanding about Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the caves. This is one prayer from Stavavali. It's actually the 108 names. It's called the 108 names of Radharani. Radhika Ashtotara Shatanam Stotram. The 108 names of Radharani. Ashtotara Shatanam Stotram. So he's, of course, all different names of Radharani. So in the 73rd name of Radharani is Govardhan Guha Geha Grihini. Govardhan Guha Geha Grihini. That's very nice. I don't know how that goes. Govardhan Guha Geha Grihini Kunja Madan Madana Chidamshu Nandini Bhadha Vagani Bhava Vibrahma Divya Kundalata Namasakya Dhamma Vibhushita Govardhan Adara Aladani Aladi Shringara Rasa Pandita. So here, this is name number 73. Govardhan Guha Geha Grihini. Griha, we know Griha. We say Grihasta, married people, Grihasta. Griha means house. And in English, they have a word housemaker, housewife. You've heard housewife, housemaker. So in Sanskrit, that's called grihini. Like we say, the Raj and Rajini. So the grihini means the housewife. So Radharani, it says she's the housewife in the caves of Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Guha means like gufa. Guha means cave. Gaya, grihini, in the house. She's the housewife. The commentator is telling the Govardhan Giriraj Guha, the caves of Govardhan, are more beautiful than jeweled temples. It's not just some bunch of rocks with scorpions crawling around, snakes. The caves are more beautiful than jeweled temples, and they are a perfect place for Radha Madhav's amorous pastimes, for obvious reasons. They're hidden and they're solitary. You don't have to worry about anyone coming from any direction except one. But if you're anywhere else, someone can come from any direction, even from above. But if you're in a cave, no one can come from top down. But if you're in the Radhakund, people can come with a drone and drop in the middle of Kunja. But if you're inside a cave, no one can come in through the roof or anything. So it's very special, very hidden and solitary. In them, in those caves, Hari's greatest servant, Sri Giriraj, always keeps jeweled bedsteads, jeweled lamps, golden pitchers, water, boxes of with betel nuts and betel leaves, fans and other paraphernalia for serving the divine couple. Just as in a house, a griha or a geha, an expert housewife keeps her furniture neat and clean and always keeps all of her paraphernalia in the proper places for serving guests or for serving husbands, etc. Similarly, Srimati Radharani, she is glorified in this verse as Govardhan Guha Geha Grihini. Guha Grihini Radha. She's the queen of the caves, the housewife in the caves. She's very expertly keeps all the necessary paraphernalia for the intimate service of her pranakanth, ready in the right places inside the solitary caves. So that's very nice. Govardhan Guha Geha Grihini Radha Ki Jai. So we can see nice remembrance of Giriraj, the greatest devotee, and Radha Krishna's leelas. That's the way, that's the pathway to enter the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna by the mercy of the devotees. So he's Venugita is described, Haridas is, or Giriraj is described as Haridas Varya. Govardhan Varya means excessive, extreme, excessive, lots of. So he's Vardhan. Haridas Varya means he's a das, he's a servant of Hari, but he's Varya, he's very excessive, he does many, many services, innumerable services, very confidential, very pleasing, very satisfying and fulfilling services to Krishna and all his different leelas, and his Vatsalya leelas and his Sakhi leelas, and especially in his Madhurya leelas with the Radha and the Gopis. So he's Haridas Varya. So this Bhagavatam is mentioning in all the 18,000 verses, there's only three devotees that are glorified as being excessively really big, big dasas. And one is Uddhava Das. Uddhava Das Mahashaya. He is considered one of the greatest devotees of Krishna. In some verses in third canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna himself is saying that there's no difference between that Uddhava is closer to me than Lakshmi, than my mother, my father, even my brother, even my own self. Uddhava is closer and dearer to me than even my own self. So who can compare with the intimate position and exalted position of this Uddhava? And he's always serving Krishna with every at every second. So the Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami Vyasadev, they glorify this Uddhav as one of the Haridasas. Then the second one they glorify as Haridas is Maharaj Yudhisthira, the eldest of the Panch Pandavas, the five virtuous and religious pure devotee sons of Mother Kunti. They're all married to one wife named Draupadi. So he was the eldest and considered the wisest and balanced and more cool-headed than some of the other ones like Bhima and Arjuna. So he is also glorified as being the greatest servant, Haridas Varaya. Then as Haridas, Haridas Uddhav, Haridas Yudhisthira, but now Govardhan, Giriraj, here in Vrindavan. Because Uddhava is in Dwarka Lila, Mathura Dwarka Lila. And Yudhisthira, he's in this Indraprastha Lila, this Kurukshetra Lila, Mahabharata, Vaikuntha, Dasya Rati, Vatsalya Rati. But Uddhava is in Sakya Rati, like a friend, and Sakya and Dasya. But the gopis, Giriraj, he's Madhurya Lila. Giriraj is only Madhurya, Sringar Madhurya. Sringar Madhurya means the most erotic, intimate exchanges of Radha and Krishna, Yuga. So he represents this Madhurya Lila. And of all those two Haridasas, he's called Haridas Varya. He's the special, best of all Haridasas. That's a lot. That means a lot. There's 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam describing so many bhaktas. Bhakta Prahlad and Bhakta Dhruva and this one, that one, and the Pandavas and Shiva and Durga and Kasyap and Kardaman and Kapila. Many, many devotees. 18,000 verses. But only three of them are called Haridas. Of those hundreds of devotees that are glorified, hundreds of kings and queens and yogis and Narada Muni and Vasishtha and so many described there. But three are Haridas, and of the three, one is Haridas Varya. This is Giriraj. Giriradharan ki jai. So we're hearing some nice glories about Govardhan. Do you worship Govardhan? You have Giriraj Shila? Oh. In your ashram there, they have?
They have, but they don't.
Oh, so. That's okay. I never had until it came for a long time. I never even wanted, but somehow it came to me. I was praying, Radha Damodar, I was praying to find a deity of Radha and Krishna every day when I bathe in Yamuna. And I found many different deities, like Saraswati and Hanuman and other deities, Ganesh, but I never found the Radha and Krishna. Then one person came and gave me the Govardhan Shila. I said, no, he said, I want to give you this Govardhan Shila. You can worship. I said, no, I don't. I want to worship Radha and Krishna. I'm just praying. I mean, it's nice because I don't want to buy any deity or take any deities or anything. But if Krishna comes to me, then I'll know that my devotion has some value. It has a value, enough value that it's attracting him, because Krishna is Karshan. He's Sankarshan, complete attraction. San, complete, full. Karshan means chumbak, magnetic pulling, attracting quality. This is Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, especially. He's the most attractive. Krishna. So the devotee, he has more attraction than Krishna, because Krishna is known as Prem Vasi Bhut. Prem Vasi Bhut. Vasi means control. Bhuta means person. So Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees. Prem Vasi Bhut. So that means he who attracts everyone becomes attracted to love. So I thought, if I am any kind of bhakta or any kind of devotee, of course, it's questionable. This was long ago. This was 1988 or so. 1989 I was in Prabhupada's rooms. And it's around 1990 I awakened a strong desire to worship Radha and Krishna, as I had previously done about 8 years earlier in the ISKCON Berkeley Temple. knew Jagannath Puri. I was worshipping for 4 years, Radha and Krishna. So I was longing and hankering again to worship them. But I didn't want to. In that case, I was just temple pujari, Thakurji Sevite. But now 8 or 9 years had gone by, lots of book distribution, traveling. Now I'm in Vrindavan, the place of Radha Govinda, and the place of their Prem Leelas, Madhurya Dham Vrindavan. So my heart was hankering, yearning to worship Radha and Krishna. But I didn't want to. I thought, I can go down, I can walk 5 minutes from here and buy some deities. I mean, I think Vrindavan is a deity world, a deity land. Everywhere there's hundreds of shops selling deities of all different prices and all different dyes. Black Krishnas with lots of iron, or Ashtadhatu, or wooden, or whatever. Plastic, whatever kind of deities you want to get. So then I told this person, I said, I don't know, let me think. I'm not thinking of Giriraj. I'm only fixing my mind around Radha Krishna. I'm happy that Giriraj came. Maybe that's good. So I said no. So then he went away, one sannyasi. And then he came back again next day with Giriraj. First time was no Giriraj. He was talking about it. You talk about your sister to some friend or something. He was talking to me to get me interested in Giriraj. The next day he came back and said, I bought Giriraj. He's going to stay here with you. Here's his paraphernalia. How do I worship? You worship like Krishna. He's Krishna, Radha, you worship. I said, okay, I guess that's my way my prayers are getting fulfilled. So it was a rather, wasn't an enthusiastic beginning of a relationship. Because I was a little reluctant, my own, I was a little attached to the Tribhanga form, Lalitam Niyataprakasham. Tribhanga Lalitam Niyataprakasham, the transcendental, beautiful, threefold curving form of Shamsundara and Radharani. I wanted them, but they came as Giriraj, so it's been the way it is since 25 years. Giriraj is tolerating me, and gradually I've become very attached to him, and he's very kind to me, no doubt about that. So there's many nice glorifications here at Govardhan in this book, in this 108 names of Radharani. So we were talking about this Govardhan Geha Griha, Govardhan Guha Grihe, Grihini Radha. Now here's another statement here about Govardhan. I don't know. I don't see. There's no. It's a rather different kind of comparison of Radharani with Govardhan. Maybe knowing. So I thought there was something about caves there, but I guess that's just about Govardhan. It says that it's about caves. Don't see it. Anyway, then the next one is this is in Swa Sankalpa Prakasha Stotram. This is the prayer by Raghunath Das Goswami. Sankalpa means resolve or aspirations. Swa means my own. Prakash means manifestation or showing or revealing. Revelation of my personal aspirations or resolve or hankerings or vows. Very nice prayers. So here in this discussion, he talks about the case in Govardhan. A very nice discussion. Because that's what we're talking about. And he's saying how it's very much part of the Manjari Bhavupasana. And this book, of course, is for Manjaris, Sadhakas, Manjari Bhavupasakas, and practice. practitioners of Raghunga Bhakti, Stavavali. So he's talking about different sevas that the mandris do. So sometimes at night, a mandri will very quickly bring Radharani to a shining cave of Govardhan Hill. After deciphering Krishna's cryptic message written on a lotus petal and delivered by a parrot. So Krishna has gone off to near Govardhan to meet Radharani, and she's not coming. Maybe she's lost or doesn't know where to meet. So Krishna takes a lotus petal from one of his garlands, or maybe the toy lotus, or the lotus flower over one ear. Sometimes Krishna wears a lotus flower dangling from his right ear, and sometimes he puts one lotus flower dangling over his left ear. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, why does Krishna do that? Sometimes one flower on one ear, and sometimes a flower on the other ear, same flower, lotus flower. Why does Krishna do this? Krishna does this to express the intoxication of his youth. So Krishna is overwhelmed and intoxicated by his own youthful playfulness. Dear Lalita Shyam, dear Lalita Krishna, he's very carefree and playful. So the gopis look, oh look, today the flower is over his right ear. Oh look, tomorrow, now he put it over, he's in a sporting mood, it's on his left ear. So he took a petal from that lotus flower, then he wrote a message on it. And then there's always parrots, always hovering around Krishna, waiting for seva. As the devotees, Krishna's always surrounded by so many devotees waiting for seva. Parrots are waiting for seva, the deer are waiting for seva. The trees, the peacocks, as soon as Krishna plays a flute, then they start serving by dancing. And Krishna becomes very happy and he plays more expertly and more beautifully and attractively. Then they dance more vigorously and artistically. Then Krishna becomes enthused and plays more. And finally, he puts down a flute and he starts dancing with the peacocks. And the more, you know, so this is like this. So all the parrots are just waiting in the trees. And Krishna says, hey, Tota! And Krishna has his pet parrots. So you see when a master in the West, a master goes for a long walk in a park on the beach, then his dog walks with him, follows him. And he goes deep into the forest on some footpath, and his dog is man's best friend. Maybe his only friend, I don't know. So wherever he goes, so when Krishna is moving in the forest, all he has his personal parrots, Daksha, Vichakshana, and maybe there's some more, I can't remember, Shubha, maybe that's Radharani's parrot, Shubha, Manjubhashini, but Daksha and Vichakshana, those are male parrots, they're Krishna's pet parrots. So when the master goes for Gocharan or Vanvihar, wandering in the forest, with the cows are just rambling and ambling along the forest in a joyful mood of sightseeing and seeing all the seasonal forests and admiring all the birds and variegated flowers and beautiful fragrances and breezes and colors, then the parrots will be flying overhead and watching Krishna, waiting for an opportunity to serve. It says that Vrindadevi keeps a whole squadron. Squadron means a bunch of airplanes, squadron. Air Force squadron. She keeps a whole squadron of parrots, a whole fleet of parrots, ready for various spying missions, to do spying missions, reconnaissance or spying or carrying messages, or singing or waking up Radha and Krishna. The parrots sing so many songs, or speaking sometimes, reminding Krishna of Radha and vice versa. So one of those parrots came, Krishna gave the message, and he wrote it in a very cryptic way. It's called Braheli. Braheli means it's like a riddle. It's a riddle, it's cryptic. The words are not clear. It's saying something inside the words that are written on the paper. Another meaning is being conveyed. So you have to be a little intuitive and perceptive and clever to decipher. Decipher means to understand the meaning. So that's why the mandri is praying, Tulsi Mundri Das Goswami is praying, when will I very quickly bring my mistress Radharani to a shining cave of Govardhan at night after deciphering Krishna's cryptic message written on a lotus petal and delivered by a parrot? So here again it talks about the caves of Govardhan and the Mundris. This is verse 12 from Swa Sankalpa Prakasha Stotram, Revelations of My Personal Aspirations. Rahakira Dora Payati Vishama Gudart Rachanam Dale Padme Padyam Pahitam Udayach Chatu Harina Samagram Vigyaya Chalapati Balat Kandara Pare Tadabhyarane Neshe Drutam Atimadisham Nishi Kara Kara. When will Nisha? When will that time come? Marisha Nisha. Marisham Nishi Kara. Nisha means Nishant Lila, Ratri Lila, and the ongoing, ever sweet and smooth, beautiful flowing of Radha and Krishna's eternal pastimes, Ashtakali Lila, the Ratri Lila at night. It starts at 10:48 and goes till 3:36 in the morning. So it's in the wee hours of night, deep night, 12 o'clock at night, midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. There's Rasa dance, and there's Madhupan, and Jalkali and Jamuna, and there's enjoying in the love groves, and there's taking fruit salads, and there's playing some this Chopra, this Pashakela. Pashakela is a type of board game where you throw dice and move pieces here and there on the board. So all these. This is the time. This is Marisham Nishi. Isham Nishi. Nishi means night. Nisha. Nishi. Ratri Lila. Nisha Lila. And Isham means Radharani, so it's a nice play on words. Tarabhyarne Neshe Drutam Atimarisham Nishikara. So here, of course, it's mentioning about the Mundri. This is the Mundri Seva. And she'll get some message to her, like we might get an SMS message on our telephone. Modernize the example. We get an SMS message. It goes beep beep, and we look, and we're somewhere else. We're sitting with our mother-in-law or anything, or anywhere. We get a message and look at the cell phone. I'm waiting for you, in the mall. Please come to this shop, in the mezzanine. Then. So then you tell your mother or mother-in-law, oh, I have to go shopping. I have to go to the mall and buy some socks. Oh, yeah, you'll go. So then she goes to the mall to buy socks, and she buys socks. And she meets. So that this messaging service has been going on for a long time, sending messages back and forth between lovers. Radharani writes love letters, entire love letters to Krishna, and the Mantris act as duties, messengers, and carry those love letters to the eager eyes and anguished ears of Krishna. And then Krishna writes love letters to send back to Radharani. Then the Mundris run back to Radharani to ease her burning pangs of separation from Shamsundar. So they read this love letter to her, and she feels very happy and very comforted. So here the parrots are the messenger carriers, and they're interacting, they're interfacing with the Mundris. Then the Mundris gets a very, because it's like this SMS message is also very cryptic. It's like Prahali, it's like a riddle. The modern young people, they write these words. If their mother and fathers look at their cell phones and see the SMS, they won't know what they're talking about. Just dakukaki kukak, you know, it's like Chinese or something. It's all funny spelling words, all spelled crazy, you know. B-day means birthday, and you know, happy B-day is don't write happy, you just put a smile, put some little smile B-day, means happy birthday, you know, smiley face. So that's the type of riddle, it's confusing to anyone else. So Krishna sends the mantra, but the mantras are expert understanding Krishna's riddles also. They learn the science from Radharani. So it's a nice description that the mantra takes Radharani to some beautiful shining cave. That's actually her service. And in the Tika, this verse, it says, the ecstasy of identification, the ecstasy experienced by identifying oneself as a maid servant of Srimati Radharani is indescribable. That's a nice statement. The ecstasy, the bliss of identifying oneself as the maid servant, Mandri of Radharani, is indescribable. Well, here's the lila behind this verse. It talks about the Kandarapade. Balat Kandarapade. It says Achala Pati. Achala, you've heard of Nilachala? Jagannath Puri, Nila means blue. Achala means mountains. Sundarachala, Nilachala. The word Achala means mountain. Parvat means mountain. Himalayan Parvat, so that also we say Nandishwar Parvat, Brahma Parvat, but also Achala. So this, he's writing Achala Pati Samagram. Achala Pati. Pati means the Lord or the Father or the King. The Pati, Sampati, it's another name for the Emperor. The emperor is called Sampati, the lord of everyone. The emperor is called Sampati, Sampati Raj. So he's the Achalapati. Says Achalapati Balat Kandarapade. So the Achalapati means Govardhan Hill. Govardhan is the Achalapati or the king of mountains, shining Kandara. Pade means at the foot of Govardhan there's a shining cave. There's a lila behind this verse. Once late in the evening, around 12 o'clock at night, Tulsi Manjari is serving Radhika in Yavat. Suddenly, one of Krishna's pet parrots, like Vichakshana or Daksha, secretly swoops down next to Tulsi, holding a lotus petal in his beak. Krishna takes the lotus petal and Tulsi Manjari reads the lotus petal. He sees that the lotus petal, Krishna has written on that lotus petal a very difficult, hidden message. That's why I said cryptic message, secret. Krishna humbly and sweetly asked Tulsi to bring Radhika to him in a very enchanting cave of Govardhan that night. No one but a clever maidservant of Radha can understand the meaning of this riddle. Tulsi, however, could easily understand the secret message written on the lotus petal. In that message, Shyamasundara was humbly flattering Radharani in many ways, and so that he could attract Radharani to a beautiful cave of Govardhan Hill. Although it was late at night, it was 12 o'clock at night, the charming caves of Govardhan would be illuminated by jeweled lamps. There will be no obstacles to a rendezvous there at all. Lovers try us. Tulsi Manjari told Srimati all the news and thus greatly enthused Radharani for this nocturnal Abhisar, evening love journey. The Sakhi Zamantris dressed up Radharani for her Abhisar and then went, and Tulsi went with her. And they quickly arrived at the appointed cave of Govardhan Hill, which was indicated by Krishna. Standing at the opening of the cave, Krishna was eagerly staring down the road to see when Tulsi and Radha would come. Finally, Tulsi arrives before Shyam Sundar and says, "O Shyam, here is your beloved." He places Swamini's hand into Shyam's hand and says, "Here, take your beloved." Then suddenly Raghunath Das loses his vision of the Leela and his Sarupa Vesh as Tulsi Manjari. Very beautiful. So that's a nice pastime about Govardhan Hill and the Manjaris specifically engaged to take Radharani there to meet Shyam Sundar. And that's, of course, the perfection of a Manjari Seva, is to bring her to Shyam Sundar. Now that when Radha and Krishna are in that cave at Govardhan, not only does the Manjari bring Radharani to that specific cave where Shyam Sundar is waiting, but Radharani is so happy that this Manjari has arranged for the meeting that she tells the Manjari, "You stay here in the cave with me." So this is more glorification of the cave. And this is verse 13 and 14 of Stavavali's poem, Swa Sankalpa Prakasha Stotram. Arabram Vibranao Smara Ranabaram Kandarakale. Kandara means cave. Kandarakale Mito Jetam Vidavapi Nishita Nechanchala Share Api Klidhyad Gatro Nakadashana Shastra Apidhara Tyajanto Jashtum Tokim Utamasi Vatsyami Samaye. Oh, this is in this particular verse, Rupa Goswami or Tulsi Manjari is praying to Raghunath Das Goswami is praying to Rupa Goswami and Rupa Manjari. "O Sakhi Rupa Manjari, can I stay in the dark cave of Govardhan right next to the divine couple and watch how their bodies are moist of perspiration from the fatigue of their erotic fight in which they try to defeat each other by scratching each other with the weapons of their nails and their teeth, and they pierced each other with the sharp arrows of their glances?" Oh, Rupa, and then it says, "Samanam Nirvaya Smara Sarasi Samgramam Atulam Tadagyata Sitwa Militatanu Nidram Gatavato Tayur Yugmam Yuktya Twaritam Abhisagamya Kutukat Kadaham Sevishe Saki Kusama Punjavyanjanambak." Oh, Sakhi Rupa Manjari, when can I quickly approach the divine couple and serve them on their order by fanning them with a fan made of flowers as they awaken from their sleep, their bodies united in a firm embrace after they completed their amorous pastimes in the royal assembly of Cupid? So this is another beautiful service of Govardhan, providing such a nice meeting place for Radha and Krishna, and the Manjari is right there inside the inside that cave at Govardhan, right on the very bed of Radha and Krishna, or next to it. And there's three. Usually in English they say two is company, three is a crowd. Two is company, three is a crowd. In other words, if there's one guy, one man and one lady and another guy. It's an odd combination. Three is odd. Three two is company, three is a crowd. So three doesn't work. So, but here in the divine realm, there's Radha and Krishna, and there's a third person, the Manjari, Sakhi Manjari, and she's right there watching, and Radharani is not shy or embarrassed or nervous or hesitant, because the Manjaris are like her shadows. They're like her auras, her jyoti, they're the personal bhavas of her own heart are solidified in the forms of the Manjaris that are always serving her. So she doesn't feel any, she feels completely transparent and relaxed in their presence. So she lets them stay inside the cave with her. Radharani is so happy to meet Krishna. She wants to reward Tulsi, but she couldn't think of what reward to give her. So since right at the beginning of the Sri Yuga Vilas, Tulsi Manjari was inside the cave in a dark part, standing in such a place there would be no obstacle for her in seeing the sweet Yugala Vilas. So she was in the same cave, but a little bit in the back, away from the flower bed. So not that she's looming over them or standing in. She's a little bit in a distance, in the same cave alone, and not disturbing them, and they wouldn't feel anyone's looking at me or watching us. But she's there, admiring and marveling at the wonderful exchanges of Radha and Krishna's intimate Madanaiky love affairs, their Shingharati. At the same time, at every moment, every second, she's poised, ever poised and ready and attentive for an opportunity to serve as soon as it comes up, to serve Radha and Krishna. So they, seeing that they've collapsed and become exhausted and collapse motionless on their bed of flowers and breathing very heavily and they're perspiring, Tulsi understands that it's time for her seva. So she walks over to the bed and starts fanning the divine couple to remove their fatigue with an amazing fan that she's made out of flowers. So not only is she cooling the divine couple with a cooling, soothing wind, soothing touch of the wind, but she's also innervating and satisfying their sense of smell, because the flower fan, as she moves it, emanates a delicious and attractive fragrance, flower fragrance, beautiful fragrances. So in this way, in two ways, by the cool breezes and by the sweet fragrances, sweet smells, cool breezes and sweet smells, the divine couple there, they become relieved from their fatigue. So this is another nice description of Govardhan Hill from Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. And of course, the most famous pastimes of Govardhan Hill are Indra. Everyone knows about Indra. He tried to destroy Govardhan Hill, but he ended up having his false ego destroyed instead. That was a blessing. But it wasn't destroyed completely, it was just diminished quite a bit. Because later, when Krishna came with Satyabhama for a party in Nandakanan Gardens, and in this Alakapuri, I think it's called Alakapuri, I'm not sure, the heavenly planet Swargaloka of Indra. Then on the way out, after leaving the party, then Rukmini said, Krishna, well, look at all this beautiful garden of Indra, Nanda Kanana, Kanan. I would like, there's a beautiful Parijat tree there. Can you pick that? Can you give me that tree? I want that tree. And you put it in the trunk of the car. Put it in the back of the chariot. I want to take it home. You know, like the people in the West, they go to the nursery and they buy a tree and put it in their trunk of their car. Tie down the trunk. Tree sticking out the back. So he did that. Later on, the same Indra was so humble and bowed before Krishna and bathed him in Govardhan Vrindavan, gave him the name Govinda. Later on, Dwarka Lila, the gardener, the Mali, Indra's Mali, said, "Look, Dwarkadish is stealing your favorite Parijat tree." And he said, "What?" And Indra came out there with an army, started fighting and shooting arrows at Krishna. So he wasn't so humble then. His false ego came back again. Giriraj was the only one that could ever subdue Indra and all his pride. So that's all we'll say for the glories of Giriraj from Stavavali for today. And it gives us a nice idea about the caves of Govardhan and how they're such an integral part of Ramakrishna's divine intimate pastimes. How the Mandris are also decorating those caves, and they know exactly where they all are, and they know how to take the divine couple to the caves and arrange all beautiful things for their happiness in those caves. And then the Mandris even stay right inside the caves that are shining with their natural ghee lamps and jeweled lamps in the walls. As you can imagine, it's more beautiful. The caves of Govardhan are more beautiful than the palaces of Swargaloka. So one can only imagine how beautiful they are. Dharan ki jai. Rara rani ki jai.
What? Can you briefly describe the daily schedule of Srimati Radharani?
Daily schedule of Srimati Radharani? Briefly describe the daily schedule of Radharani. Well, that's the whole subject of the Govinda Lilamrita and the Krishna Bhavanamrita. It depends on when you take it from. If you take it from sunrise, many people consider their day to begin at sunrise. But Radharani's day, if you want to start Radharani's day at sunrise, that's called Pratak Lila 6:36. And Radharani wakes up, does many activities like all normal human beings do. She cleans her, brushes her teeth, scrapes her tongue with a golden tongue scraper, takes a bath, gets massaged, gets dressed and ornamented and decorated, and then she, at that time, different Sakis and Mandris come and give her news about Krishna's activities at that time of the day in Nandagram, and what he's doing and how he's waking up and where he's playing with the cows and boys and wrestling and whatnot. So she's absorbing herself. So her day begins with cleaning and greeting her relatives. First she wakes up in bed and greets Mukura and Yogamaya, Purnamasi, and then her mother, and then all the Sakis meet her, and then they brush her teeth and bathe and dress her, and she hears all the news about Krishna. Then she gets a message to come to Nandagram. So she hasn't even eaten yet, but she goes to Nandagram with all the Sakhi Mandris and cooks Krishna's breakfast and then serves Krishna's breakfast, either directly or indirectly, through Yashoda and Rohini and other Sakhis. And after Krishna takes his breakfast and rests, then Radharani takes Krishna's Mahaprasad with all her Sakhis. And then, after she eats, then she sneaks off to Guptakund, which is behind Vrindakund, she meets Krishna there secretly, and that's the first Yogapit meeting of all Krishna and his eternal associates in Madhuri Lila. They meet there, and Artik is there, Yogapit, Guptakund, Nandagram. And then Radharani, then Krishna. Krishna comes back to Nandagram. Radharani comes back to Nandagram. And Krishna gets all the cows and takes the cows out, goes for pasturing, and Radharani and all the Vrishvasis go behind him, Yashoda, and then they say goodbye many, many times, Yashoda, and then Krishna disappears into the forest with the coward boys and cows, and Radharani faints on the ground in separation, and then the Sakis and Manjris, they pick her up and carry her back to Yavat, and when she gets to Yavat, then she sees Jatila and gets the news of Jatila gets the news from Kundalata about all of Radharani's activities and how Kundalata protected Radharani's chastity, and Krishna didn't even see Radharani's shadow. That's what she tells. And Yashoda gave many jewel ornaments and saris and all kinds of costly perfumes and ornaments and a big box, big trunk to donate to Radharani and the wealth of Jatila's family. So Jatila is very happy about that. By sending her daughter-in-law, she got lots of return. And then Radharani goes in the kitchen. She starts cooking some sweets to send to Krishna for his lunch in the pastures. And then, after she's cooking, and then she sends off those things, maybe she'll send one of her own garlands or a couple of flowers to specially deliver to Krishna. And then she hears about, you know, where they're going to meet, and then they, on the pretext of going to Sriyakunda to worship the sun god, because Radharani is born in Sriyavamsha. She's a descendant from, she descends from Sriyavamsha, just like Ramachandra and Ikshvaku. They're from the Sriyavamsha. And they go to the sun god's temple, they leave all the puja paraphernalia there, then they sneak off to Radhakund. Radharani spends 6 hours there with Krishna. Then afterwards, they go to Sriyakund temple and do puja. And then Radharani comes home. In the summertime, sometimes she goes to Pavan Sarovara and Nandagram from Yavat, not very far, on the plea of swimming. All the gopis go on one side and swim, and Krishna's on the other side with the coward boys, summertime. And he swims underwater and plays with Radharani. No one sees, or the Manjari sees, she's going. And then they know. Or other times, she just goes straight back to Yavat or Varsana. And then she's feeling much separation from Krishna. She lies down on a bed of flowers, and they cover Radharani's body with sandalwood and camphor, and give her cooling drinks and fan her, and she's fan her with wet banana leaves and cooling flower fans. And Radharani's just burning, so much pain and fire of separation from Krishna. Then she gets the news that Krishna's passing through Barsana, coming back with the cows. Come, wake up. Come off your flower bed. Let's go down to the street. We can meet him. Or at least a minute or two, see him. Or maybe a quick embrace or kiss or whatever. It's called Samshipta. Samshipta Sambhog. And the Ujjala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami describes four types of Sambhog Milan and four types of Viparlamba. So one of them is called Sankshipta, means a complete meeting, enjoyment. Sambhog, Sankshipta, Sambhog means very brief, satisfying but very brief. 5 minutes or 10 minutes, not very long. And then there's Samridhiman and Sampurna, different degrees of intimacy for different lengths of time and different degrees of involvement. And exchanges of loving affairs between Radha and Krishna, and there's Sambhog Milan, enjoying together. So she meets Krishna when he comes through with the cows, and that kind of soothes her anguish of separation. Some brief encounter, an embrace, a kiss, a glance, a look. And then she goes back home, and then she goes back again to the kitchen and starts cooking things to send for Krishna's dinner. And she sends the girls to Dinishta or Brinda. She sends them to Nandagram to bring all these different preparations for Krishna's dinner. And she makes some extra things also. Amrit Keli and Siddhu Amrita, Siddhu Vilas Amritam, Gangajal Ladu, Amrit Keli. Like there's three or four different Bhushagranti also. Four different kinds of sweets. Some of them are like tarts, like little baby pies. Little baby pie with fruit inside and crust like a pie. What's called tart. Little tart. Some of them are tarts and some of them are milk sweets. There's four of them. And those are special. They're for Rasalila. They're Rasalila munchies. I call them munchies. Rasalila munchies. Snacks. Snacks to eat at Rasalila. After they're tired and they eat fruits, and then Radharani brings out these special sweets that Krishna really likes, and they're like Shringar Misti. They're conjugal, they're Madhurya sweets made by Radharani's hand to be enjoyed by Krishna and at 1 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock. So those are made and kept on the side in tiffins and preserved. So Radharani's cooking, and then she hears news, different manjaris come from Nandagram and tell what Krishna's doing, that how he took his bath in the evening and milked the cows, and then he went to the royal assembly hall, and then he saw juggling and heard all kinds of recitations and musical performances, and then he ate dinner with his father and other people. And now he's retiring. So she would hear all about Krishna while she's in her room. And then she'd get the message, oh, it's time to go out. So then her mother and father, or Jatila, they go to sleep. And then they get dressed up Radharani very beautifully and collect those sweets. And then they run off at 10:30 at night to meet Krishna and dance in Ras and swim in Yamuna and eat fruits and wander in the forest and lie around together in the love bowers and enjoy. So that goes on through the night and then all the way till sunrise. And at sunrise, Radharani has to separate from Krishna and run back to Varsana or to Yavat. And then she gets in bed and pretends to sleep. She gets in bed about 5 or 6, and then at 6 o'clock she wakes up. And her mother-in-law says, oh, you look so tired. Why are you so tired? I only had 20 minutes rest, 24 minutes rest, one danda rest. So this is a day in the life of Radharani. Srimati Radharani ki jai. And you asked about a brief description of Radharani's day. So that's it. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.